For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard, and he went out about the third hour, 9 o'clock, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said to them, "You also go to the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you." So they went. He went out about the sixth hour, noon, and the ninth hour, 3 o'clock, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, 5 p.m., he went out and found others standing idle, and said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive." So, when evening had come, a whole hour later, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, "Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first." And when those who came were hired about the 11th hour, 5 o'clock, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen." Interesting story. January 1956, I loaded up a U-Haul truck in Muncie, Indiana, with all Helen's and my earthly belongings. Didn't fill up the truck. And I drove to a place in northeastern Ohio, where I was to begin my pastoral ministry. Cherry Valley, Ohio, is just a crossroad community. It's not even a village. Want to see a map of Cherry Valley? Here I am, 43 consecutive unbroken years as a pastor, and now 3 months, retired, doing nothing. I've been preaching 50, 60 times a year since I retired. But I'm privileged to be enjoying the privilege of preaching, and once in a while feeling like God is using me. Down along the years, I've done a lot of dumb things, and God's grace has been there. I've seen some pitfalls. I know I have walked through minefields that I didn't see, and look back on and realize that God's grace has been there for me. And what a fortunate man I am. I would say lucky in the world's terms, but it's not luck. In January of 1956, the same month, a small group of Christians, just a little older than I, were launching a brand new ministry as well. And these were people with top-notch college and seminary educations. One of them was a paratrooper who had been in the Battle of the Bulge. His name was Roger Udarian, and he married a girl by the name of Orton, Barbara Orton. I used to play in the band in Lansing, Michigan with her brother. So these are real people. Udarians attended South Baptist Church in Lansing. These were the kind of people that would go to the top of any endeavor they got into. And the one thing that distinguished this group of five men was total dedication to the will of God. They were ambitious, but they weren't selfishly ambitious. And they had come together because they believed that God wanted them to take the gospel of Jesus into a tribe in South America where the life expectancy was barely 30 years of age, a tribe where they only knew revenge and murder as a way of life. And these five wonderful, bright, young Christian families, for it wasn't just men, they had wives and children, they went to a place where the oil companies had established a base and then moved on, and they established a missionary base there. They prepared in the best ways possible. They had cutting-edge technology for 46 years ago. They had slow-flying aircraft. They had the latest radio technology. They even developed new ways of communicating with people in jungle clearings. They would lower a aluminum kettle on a long, long rope. It sounds impossible to me, but I've heard it demonstrated. And then as the plane would circle, they could lower that pot down and give gifts to the natives that dared to come out. The natives were called Alcas. Actually, we found out later that they called themselves Huronis. So we'll call them Huronis in this story. They prepared the very best way that they could. And then on January the 8th, 1956, they landed their plane on a hard sand strip along a little river and made their first face-to-face contact with the Huronis. And in that first face-to-face contact, all five men were killed. Now, why have I put these two beginnings side to side? January 56, I begin, here I am, 71 years old, fairly healthy, almost in my right mind. Still preaching. These guys are dead 46 years. Why am I telling you this? Am I comparing myself to them? No. They were martyrs, true martyrs. But I have a contrast in mind, actually. What does this say about grace? What does this say about this story here? And I guess I got two or three points to make. Grace is God's business, and it's on His terms. And God doesn't seem to treat us all alike. Matthew 20 makes that sort of clear. And yet grace is good. You say it wasn't good for them. You wait and let me tell you a little more of the story. Grace is good, but it's not to our expectations. God always surprises us. God used Moses to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. Had a pillar of fire by day, a pillar of cloud by night. And the people said, we didn't think it'd be like this. We thought we'd have milkshakes and Big Macs. And you're feeding us this manna. And they grumbled and they complained. And God said, I'm sick of that. They wanted what they wanted, and they wanted it right now. But when we pray the Lord's Prayer, which we just got through doing, we're saying, give us this day what you want to give us. Give us this day our daily bread. And we'll trust you for tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll trust you as it comes. It's easy to say, but it's not always easy to do. But the grace of God is good, and you can trust it. And I challenge you this morning, I won't tell you if you give your all to God, if you will let God purify your heart and say, I want to do your will, I won't promise you that you'll have 40 years. I was going to tell you, Helen and I have had 35 good, happy years of marriage. That's not bad out of 48. No, just kidding. But I'm not promising you if you give your heart to the Lord. I mean, you're Christians. I'm talking to Christians this morning. But if you dare to trust Him and step out and obey Him and do what He wants you to do, that you'll have a long and happy and productive life as the world. You might run into disaster. But I want to tell you, when God hires you on, and that's really not hire because you can't pay for eternal life, but when you say yes to His grace, He's better than His word. Grace is good. It's not fair. It's not fair that those guys, those five men, died, as far as we're concerned. You think they'd trade places with me today? No way they would. Would I trade places with them? No. But let me tell you the rest of the story. Like Paul Harvey. The Christian community, I can still remember. I don't know how many of you can still remember it, because I'm older than most of you. Some of you older people still remember. It was in Life magazine and Time magazine. All of a sudden, this evangelical Christian movement came to the front pages. I remember pictures. I still, in my head, remember pictures of these bloated bodies floating in the river with spears sticking in them. And you could see pictures of these widows with red eyes, and they were crying. They did cry. They wept, but they didn't weep like anybody else. It was Betty Elliott wrote a book called Through Gates of Splendor. Any of you read it? Yeah, quite a few of you older people have. That's cool. It's a good book. But more than 1,000 young college-age people during those next few weeks, more than 1,000 stood up to say, we'll take their place. We'll be missionaries. We'll say yes to God. We'll give our lives. Now, this wasn't a suicide mission, not in any way like a suicide bombing. These men wanted to live. They didn't want to die. But they were men of grace. Their names are Ed McCulley, Jim Elliott, Peter Fleming, Nate Saint, and as I already mentioned, Roger Udarian. Men, as they went in that day, were armed. They had shotguns. But they had agreed ahead of time the shotguns were not to use on people. There are things that you need to shoot in the jungle. You know, like maybe a snake or some animal. Or they would use the guns to scare people off. And usually a primitive person would be afraid of a big boom. But we learned later that they did not fire at another human. Steve Saint, who was a baby when his dad Nate died that day, has told the story many times. And I'm going to continue this next Sunday morning, by the way. It'll stand on its own. But I want to talk about Steve Saint and what he's doing today down there. But the men who actually speared Nate Saint, Steve Saint's father, became friends to Steve Saint later on because the gospel got to them and they became Christians and they realized what they had done. And Chemo, the man who actually killed his father, called him uncle. Now, that's crazy, isn't it? That's grace. The whole tribe has accepted the Christian faith. I'm not saying the whole tribe is born again Christian, but they're a Christian community even to this day. And many of the Alka martyrs still have homes there, established there. They live in the States. They have a place, a mission station at that place. In Christianity Today, Steve Saint told the story, and I want to quote in part from that article and jump right in the middle. These names are people involved. Why didn't he flee into the jungle? Min Kay emphatically asked me. If he would have fled, surely he would have lived. Instead, he just waited for Chemo to wade out and spear him. Dawa, one of the three women, told me she had hidden in the bush through the attack, hearing but not seeing the killing of the five men. She told me she had been hit by gun pellets in the wrist and just above the knee, and these obviously came from warning shots fired to scare the attackers, because Dawa was hiding in the far side of the narrow river and the men could not have known of her presence. So they shot the guns off. And I think the Lord let them hit the lady in the leg and the arm so they knew that they had the means to kill these men, but didn't. They never knew that they hit the lady and the women in the tree. You understand? Dawa also told me, now here we come, that after this killing, she saw Kawadi, which is the Harani word for foreigners, above the trees, singing. Every time I read this story and tell it, I get the hair in the back of my neck stands up. She didn't know this kind of music until later she heard records of Aunt Rachel, saint, and became familiar with the sound of a Christian choir. Minke and Kimo confirmed that they heard the singing and saw what Dawa seems to describe as angels along the ridge above what they call Palm Beach. They had named this landing strip Palm Beach, code word. Diwi, one of the men, verified hearing the strange music, although he describes what he saw more like lights moving around and shining, a sky full of jungle beetles similar to fireflies with a light that is brighter and doesn't blink. Apparently all the participants saw this bright multitude in the sky and felt they should be scared because they knew it was something supernatural. Their only familiarity with the supernatural world was one of fear. Dawa has said that this supernatural experience was what drew her to God when she later heard of him from Dayuma. You get what he's saying? These men are dying. And they're singing and light above the treetops. Jesus was born, and they sent the angels to say, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Here's some men who said, we'll do whatever God wants us to do. And they're martyrs. And he sends the same old choir down and said, we'll take you along to heaven. Maybe that's something of what Paul meant in that Philippians passage that was read this morning. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, for he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well. The privilege not only of believing, but of living for God wherever he takes us. We don't know where God's grace is going to take us when we start out. And that's God's business. Grace isn't a fail-safe promise that if you sign on the dotted line, you can have your choice, like joining the Navy or something. Steve Saint closes that article he wrote about his father in Christianity Today with this paragraph. God took five common young men of uncommon commitment and used them for his own glory. They never had the privilege they so enthusiastically pursued to tell the Harani of the God they loved and served. But for every Harani who today follows God's trail, there are 1,000 Kawadi who follow God's trail more resolutely for their example. This success, withheld from them in life, God multiplies and continues to multiply as a memorial to their obedience and their faithfulness. And here it is 46 years later. I'm an old man, and I'm getting ready to hang it up. But we're still talking about these five young men. And it's still reaping results. Grace isn't fair. It's good. It's better than fair. Grace is love. If you will receive it, it's for you here and now. If you decide to follow Jesus with all your heart, you may have years of ministry. Or you may march into something that looks to the other people like a disaster. But thank God, when you face God in eternity, you'll see that he never goes back on his word. I used to have a teacher at ENC that said, God will not waste a conversation. consecrated life. You want your life to count, dare to trust His grace. Next Sunday, Lord willing, I'd like to tell you another story that's directly connected to this. And people who are not here this morning won't have the background you have. But that's for next week, so you have to come back. Continued next week.